Ave Maria.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to day three. We are continuing our preparation to consecrate our lives to Mary. Day three is unique. We are shifting gears a little bit here. And I'll start with a question. If somebody were to ask you, what is the message of Fatima? What would you say? You know, you ask all sorts of different experts and they say all sorts of different things. Some will say, well, message of Fatima, well, that's the sun and when it moved and danced in the sky and 80,000 people saw it. And that is pretty remarkable, yes, but that's not the main message of Fatima. Other people will say, oh, it's the consecration of Russia to the Immaculate Heart and then she'll leave into her errors. And yeah, that's part of it as well. Other people might point to the vision of hell. We'll get into that one later. But what is actually the real message, the central message of Fatima? Well, if you had asked Sister Lucia this question, she would answer it very differently. This is what she said.
Now, the entire message of Fatima is a call to pay attention to the divine law. For this reason, we will go through it step by step, and it will point out for us the way we are to go.
For Sister Lucia, the main message is the divine law. And the fair question would be then, well, what is the divine law? And is what God has revealed to be true and how we are to live our lives through sacred tradition, through scripture and the teaching magisterium of the church. These three things reveal to us the divine law.
Mm-hmm.
Now, before we turned on the camera, you were saying something about
this. Right at the very beginning of the chapter, she just talks about how the word Fatima means peace in a certain language and also how we all desire peace. How when we're in a situation of turmoil, it's like, I even for myself, I think, oh, I just can't wait till things are more peaceful. And she says the only way to achieve peace is through the divine law. So I want to know this law.
Saint Augustine says the peace is the tranquility of order. So if we take that and apply to what Sister Lucia says, is when we conform our life to the divine law, that brings order. And that order results in the fruit of peace. So she introduces the first call of the divine law with another apparition, an angel.
An angel, yes. They saw, some way off, a young man approaching them, who seemed to be made of light. When he reached them, he said, "Do not be afraid. I am the angel of peace. Pray with me." Then kneeling down on the ground, he bowed low until his forehead touched the earth and said the following words three times. "My God, I believe, I adore, I hope, and I love you. I ask your pardon for those who do not believe, do not adore, do not hope, and do not love you." He then straightened himself and said, "Pray thus. The hearts of Jesus and Mary are attentive to the voice of your supplications."
Which leads us to the first call that Sister Lucia has is the act of faith, because the first words of the prayer is,
"My God, I believe."
My God, I believe. So she says the first call to the divine law is faith. And the chapter is beautiful. So what stood out to you, Gina?
Well, I really loved how she mentions Jesus came and he mapped out the way for us to go. Like, it's not like it's a mystery. He's given us direction. Mm-hmm. And anybody that leads us any other way can lead us to eternal
ruin.
And she has no hesitation in mentioning that. I also love how she says that we should be most anxious, you know, because we're anxious about a lot of things, but we should be most anxious to know the laws of God, because this is how we are saved.
And she also makes a clear connection between the divine law and the church, doesn't she?
Yes, because she says that the church is the custodian of the true law.
So basically she's saying, if we want to know the divine law, we have to look at the church's teachings. But we get ourselves into a problem, don't we? Because sometimes we don't like what the church teaches. And we might as well just say that, because there's a war within our hearts. What are we supposed to do with that tension? Because that tension, friends, is real. I have struggled with certain things the church has taught in the past. And what I have done is come to the conclusion that I get it wrong sometimes, that I have finite wisdom. And when my opinion is weighed against the teaching authority of the church, I feel like I'm just better off trusting the teaching authority of the church and then making the decision to find out why the church teaches mm-hmm. what it teaches. Because my experience is that when I have tried to find out the why behind the what, it's like this light bulb goes off. I'm like, oh, okay, that makes a lot of mm-hmm. sense. Because our faith is not in contradiction to reason. Mm-hmm. Everything the church teaches is reasonable.
And then when we follow the divine law, there is peace. There's like peace. What she said right at the very beginning.
There's grace.
Mm-hmm.
It's the only way to grow in union with Jesus.
Mm-hmm. The very last quote that really stood out to me was this one, and it's right from one of the apparitions in August of 1917. Our Lady said, "Pray, pray very much, and make sacrifices for sinners. Many souls go to hell because there is none to make sacrifices and to pray for them." And I just felt really convicted that I think how many moments of my life go by where I don't offer my day-to-day simple things that happen, you know, whether it's caring for my children, choosing to wake up early and not press snooze, making sure that I greet the person at the till at the grocery store instead of just walking by and not acknowledging them. All of these things can be made little sacrifices for souls.
Sometimes we wonder, how can we make these acts of penance? What are we supposed to offer? And I think it's very simple. It's the duty of the moment. Just to look at our lives and say, what do we got to do because of the responsibilities of our current state of life? And then you just offer it to Jesus. Easier said than done.
Easier right? said than done. Every single day, I fail.
Yes. And that's the struggle of the spiritual life. What do when you fail? Well, you start again.
You ask for forgiveness and you pick up your cross and you carry on.
Yeah. In closing, can I close?
Yes.
With this thought about faith. If you want faith and you feel like you don't have the gift of faith, what should you do? You should ask for it.
Mm-hmm.
Because those who have the gift of faith have most certainly asked for the gift of faith.
Mm-hmm.
You just got to ask. Because one thing we know for sure is God's will that all have this gift of faith.
Mm-hmm.
He will withhold it from nobody. And if our faith is weak, what should we do? Ask for it to be stronger.
Mm-hmm.
Ask for God to give us the grace to overcome our unbelief, because all of us struggle
mm-hmm.
at some point, in some ways, to different degrees. And so we should never stop asking for this gift. I would even go so far as to say that if we don't ask for this gift, or if we stop asking for this gift, we run the risk of losing the mm-hmm. gift of faith. And so, my friends, let us ask Our Lady's intercession today, maybe particularly for this gift of faith, by saying the rosary. Our Lady of Fatima,
pray for us.
Hey, thanks for watching. Can we share our dream with you? We want to reach millions of people by sharing the beauty of the Catholic faith to a hurting world. And we want to do this by keeping all future content free, accessible, and shareable, just like the video you saw.
But we can't do this without you. Would you please consider supporting us on a monthly basis by joining our Patreon team? To partner with us, click the link at the end of this video or in the description. Thank you for your consideration.